How we doing tonight? Hey, it's good to see y'all. Those of you I can see. Excited to be with you guys tonight. I know where you guys are in the semester, right? Starting to get cold, daylight savings time, finals coming up, but Christmas is coming, right? So it's a weird, thing. We got like 3 encounters left here for the semester. Insane. So that being said, thanks for being here. Excited for what God has for us tonight. I was sharing with a few people that like I think tonight could be really impactful. That I really truly believe that what we're speaking about tonight is simple, but also extremely deep and something that that kicks me on my butt a little bit as I was prepping for this. So really excited. You have joined us in the middle of our I Am series. And Ben has been teaching for a few weeks about Jesus' statements of who he is. In the first week, he talked about who he's not. Last week, he talked about how he's the good shepherd. Next week, Charlie Welke is going to come, and he's going to a guest teach for us, and he's talking about Jesus when he says he's the bread of life. Then we're going over he is the vine, and the last one that when he says I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so you're kind of right here in the middle. A lot of these run together, and I think each one of them specifically, while they do run together, specifically important, specifically big into getting a glimpse into who Jesus is. And that's why this is a really cool series. Like, literally all we're talking about until the rest of the semester is Jesus. Plain and simple. Jesus. Like, a big deal. Yeah, good. One person is excited about that. But Jesus, not who he used to be or not who people like think he is, but who Jesus is. Who is who he is today for you and for me. So before we go into that, let me go ahead and pray to start us off. God, just grateful. Grateful for who you have in this room here tonight. I trust that you've gone before us and that whoever is here needs to be here tonight for specific reasons. So Lord, I'm praying right now for open hearts and open ears and open minds, Lord. Any junk that people came in with tonight, Lord, that's just kind of left at the door. Lord, that we rest in you and your spirit, and that most of all, that truth penetrates hearts tonight. We trust that that'll happen. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God has always delighted in revealing himself to humanity. Our God has always delighted in revealing himself to us in a way for us to understand that he's not some faraway God, that he's not just kind of sitting in his own little corner of heaven, twiddling his thumbs, bored with creation, but that he enjoys revealing himself to us, to his creation. And that goes back all the way to the Old Testament. You know, when we get a new friend or we start to spend a lot of time with people, we start to like come up with nicknames for them, right? I'm not going to come up with any examples because I don't want you to know any nicknames that people had for me when I grew up. But as you start to get to know people's personalities, sometimes nicknames kind of follow that, right? And same thing with, the way you grow up, the way that you call your elders. It's kind of like a nickname that then represents part of their character. And that's what happened as God, in his goodness, decided to reveal himself to his people. His people started to learn more and more about his character and started to give him names to represent those things. We see that in Jehovah Jireh, which means the God who provides. We see that in Jehovah Nissi, which means our banner. God, who is our banner. In Jehovah Emkadesh, that says he is the God that sanctifies. In Jehovah Rapha, that says he is the God, our healer. And Jehovah Rohi, God, our shepherd. See, as he reveals himself more and more, we get to see more and more of those characteristics of who he is. This all-powerful, all-knowing God, we get to call him those names, and those are all true about him and his character. You see, God is love, and in his extension of his character, he shows himself more and more to us. And Jesus is the crescendo of that love. That he loved his creation so much that he sent his son, not just a rabbi that kind of walked around and talked a lot, not just a dude that was going around and doing miracles. He sent his son in the flesh so that we would know him. See, we see that in the book of John with these I am statements. That's why this is so cool, that as we are learning more about who Jesus said he is, we are learning more about who God really is. And what we're doing is unpacking this, is who Jesus is at this very moment. And it's different than the other Gospels. The other Gospels, you'll see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, you see it's more of like a documentary style. Like you turn on Netflix, play it for an hour. That's kind of what you get with Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? But John's different. John is dedicated to show us who Jesus is. Not what happened necessarily. You still get some of that. But more dedicated to who he is. What did he think? What did he feel? Who is he? And so these I am statements, I am the good shepherd, I'm the bread of life, I'm the vine, I'm the gates. These are ways for us to figure out who Jesus is and in turn who God is. And so tonight, where we're camping out on tonight, is when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And in John 8:12, if you want to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, John 8:12, this is the NLT version, says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you'll have the light that leads to life. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. He's saying that if you believe in me, if you follow me, you don't have to live your life in confusion or fear or darkness. Instead, you get to live in light. So tonight we're going to break that down. And I have a few simple observations about what does it mean to live your life in light. What does this mean for the world? What does this mean to our friends and our family who don't know this light? And what does it mean for those of you in this room tonight who are broken down a little bit and this light seems to be getting dimmer and dimmer? First thing that I think we can learn about this light is that it reveals God. This light that we're talking about here, this light that Jesus claims to be, first and foremost, reveals God. Jesus is saying that I want to reveal the Creator, the maker of the heavens and the earth to you. Because light reveals God. Light reveals beauty. Light simply reveals. Since the beginning of time, since the beginning of humanity, any of you who have studied people or have studied history, you know that something that links us all together, something that has been thought about since the beginning of time, is who is God? Who is God? Why are we here? Why are we made like this? Is there something bigger out there? Do they care about me? Do they want to know who I am? You see, these things have connected us since the beginning of time. And the cool thing to me that I think, like it, that it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or educated or uneducated or white or black or rich golden honey like myself. You have at some point in your life have thought about something bigger than yourself. And people have been thinking that forever. You see, what I think is that God placed that in our hearts, knowing us, for him. It says in Ecclesiastes that God has set eternity into the hearts of men. That there's something inside us that longs to know him and for him to know us. We were made to know him. And so he knew that we would ask these questions. That we would ask, is he angry? Is he absent? Is he apathetic? Is he just sitting there with a lightning bolt in his hand, ready to shoot us a lightning bolt whenever we do something bad? He knew that we were going to ask these questions, so he responded. And his response came in Jesus. John 1:9 says, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming to the world. To everyone. Doesn't matter if you grew up in church. Doesn't matter if you came from the right side or the wrong side of the tracks. Doesn't matter if you were dragged here tonight by your friends. Doesn't matter if you have your life in tip-top neat shape, or you are sitting here and your life looks like a big pile of crap. For everyone, Jesus came as the true light for everyone. You see, what this means is that all these questions that people have been asking about for all of history, is he an angry God? No, he's not. He's a loving God. Is he an absent God? No. He's with you. Emmanuel. Is he apathetic? No. He's well acquainted. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're wrestling with. He knows the storm that you're enduring right now. And he promises to be right there with you. He senses you. He feels you. He knows you. So we've always asked these questions about God for all of history. And God responds through Jesus. And this light that Jesus brings reveals God's true character to us. And it's good. And some of you people who are coming in here tonight, this idea might be super intimidating to you. That God, this all-powerful, all-knowing being, creator of this earth, knows you, knows your thoughts and your desires, and your initial reaction is to be like, all right, nope, not me. I'm okay. I'm good. But Jesus comes as a light for everyone and says you don't have to be timid. You don't have to be afraid, because he comes for the religious, and he comes for the rebel, and he comes for the legalist and the lawless. And the news is good. That he loves. He's compassionate. He's merciful. He's grace-filled. He's here. You guys, this is pretty good news. That we think about this idea of the light and what it means when Jesus came and he said, I'm the light of the world. He's saying that, look, here's the Father. He's good. He loves you. He's your banner. He's your healer. He's your sanctifier. What's God like? This question that has been with us since the beginning of time, what's God like? He's good, and light shows us that. Next thing that we see through light, after we see God, light reveals God, is that light exposes darkness. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. Light exposes darkness. Okay, so some of you might be put off by this even more. Sure, God's intimidating. Sure, that's kind of a crazy deal. But light exposes darkness? Exposure is kind of a crazy word, right? Like, our society might look at exposure and be like, that's a little confrontational. we see exposure and we think maybe expose, right? Like these stories of all these famous people who are get their lives put on blast, and you see every lie and everything that they've done in their life. And their reputation is ruined and their life is ruined. And you're like, okay, exposure, I don't know about that. Not my jam. Sure, God's good, but I don't want to be exposed. Here's what you have to understand, is that if exposure brings life, then exposure is good. Any exposure that Jesus brings into your journey is for your good and for his glory. Not to belittle, not to embarrass, not to condemn. See, the only reason to expose the darkness or the sin in your life is because it's because God understands the wages of sin. And he understands what your life looks like when you let the darkness reign. And instead of living a life that is marked with death, the wages of sin are death. And instead of letting you live your life with that as marked as your destiny, he wants you to live a life as a testimony of light. And that's the reason that he exposes. See, exposure is a good thing. When exposure brings life, it's a good thing. So you definitely cannot see this at all. You want to bring the lights down just a little bit. There's a photo here. See it? No, okay. There's a photo here that I took today, and the exposure is completely off. There's something beautiful right behind here. You can see little specks like right there. I don't know if this has a laser pointer, but this is what happens. This is what happens when you live your life in darkness. There's something beautiful behind this. There's something that you want to see that your eyes are kind of like searching for right now. Can I figure out what that is? There's something full. There's something beautiful. There's something meant to be right behind this. And what happens when things are underexposed, this is what we see. There's a little bit of light that we see coming through there. Something that tells us that there's something more than this. When the exposure is right on, here's what it looks like. You see the colors of the leaves as they're changing. This is through a cloudy day, and you look up, and this is what you see. Gold leaves set against the crazy blue-gray sky. This is what it looks like when your life is properly exposed. That's what it looks like when it's underexposed. You see, when we're trapped in this cycle of darkness, this is what we get to experience. Something that's not satisfying. Something that maybe gets us through. On a screen that's a little bit darker, you would be able to see a little bit more than what this looks like. This is a properly exposed photo. You see, we as humanity are knit together through this too. In the same way that we've been knit together forever, about searching for something more, searching for these answers of God, we've also been knit together by this darkness. And some of the not great things, the result of the fall, is that we're knit together by this thing called sin, and that we all have something wrong with us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't mean you haven't tried enough, or that doesn't mean that, you know, your standards aren't high enough. It just means that you're not God. And I could stand here up here and point fingers and say this and that, but in the reality, this is how a lot of people are living their lives. Dark, trapped, lost, weighed down, with no purpose, aimless. This is how God desires for for us to live our life full and free and bright and alive. Good news is that Jesus comes along to expose our sin, not because he wants us to hurt, but he wants us to be healed. Not because he wants to belittle us, but because he wants to make us great. Not to condemn or to embarrass, but to convict and to set us in a place for us to flourish. You see, light will always expose the darkness. Simply put, in a camera, what this means is that there's not enough, like, there's no light coming through this lens. The right amount of light is coming through this lens right here. The right amount of light is coming through this lens right here. You want to live your life with the right amount of light coming through your life. Let me be real with you. I can stand up here and say that this is easy. That's cool. God's a good guy. Let him. He's nice. He's cool. He's chill. He's gonna do whatever it takes to make you happy. That's not true. The reality is, when you journey with him, things will change. Things will change. And for what a lot of us look like in this photo, and for what a lot of us endure our days with this photo, a lot has to change for us to live life like this. It's hard. And for each one of you, I don't know what that is exactly in your life. I don't know if that's an unhealthy relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I don't know if you struggle with pornography. I don't know if you abuse drugs or alcohol, or you take advantage of people, or if you spend your life envious of the people around you, riddled with pride, riddled with guilt. For whatever it is, light, when you bump up against it, will always expose that darkness. And what happens when that's exposed? Freedom, healing, redemption. All of these things that Jesus wants for you. And it's not easy, and it's sometimes hard, but it's something that is always for your good. You see, light, our last point, it transforms everything. Light, it transforms everything. And Jesus comes along to let us know once and for all what the Creator's like. He's not angry. He's love. He's not apathetic. He's compassionate. He's not absent. He's here. Not only does he clear up this question that we've always asked the history of the world, but he also comes and he exposes darkness to heal, to make great. You see, light transforms everything. He transforms our environment, our soul, everything about our journey. When Jesus first preached this, his original audience would have had their minds transported to the Old Testament. You see, kids in the Jewish culture would memorize large portions of the Old Testament, the Torah, the first five books. And we know the very first words that come out of that say this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. You see, put yourself in those shoes, this Jewish audience. And when Jesus comes and he says, "I am the light of the world," every kid had learned this from a young age. Every person in that culture knew that in the beginning there was God and there was nothingness. The earth was formless, it was empty, it was dark. And everything changed when he said, "Let there be light." Everything changed when he said, "Let there be light." The environment was transformed. Let there be light. Formlessness took shape. Let there be light. Emptiness was filled with beauty. Let there be light. Nothingness became something. See, there's little doubt in my mind that when Jesus said, "Hey, I'm the light," he intended people to hear this. He said, if you're living a life that's formless, if you lack purpose, if you lack identity, if you lack meaning, if you're living a life with no destiny, I, Jesus, want to change that. He said, I want to transform that. I want to take formless and to make it into a beautiful structure that points to heaven, marked with purpose. Light transforms everything. When he said, "Let there be light," people thought of a time when the earth was empty and light came into the world and changed that. My question for you is, do you feel empty? Do you feel that everything was taken away from you? Do you feel that broken relationship in your life you can't get over? That failed class, that heartbreak that identifies you? Jesus shows up and says and speaks into that emptiness, into that darkness, and says, "I want to transform everything." Where there's helplessness in your life, I bring you hope. Where you can't breathe anymore, he says, I breathe oxygen into your soul. He says, where you can't trust anymore, he says, I will show you and teach you how to trust again. He says, where you feel like you can never be loved again, he says, I will show you that you can not only be loved by a community of people, you can be loved by the creator of the universe. Light transforms everything. See, I have little doubt in my mind that when Jesus said, "I am the light," he desired people's minds to journey to a time where there was no light, where there was void, emptiness, and formlessness. And that light came and changed everything. King Jesus comes and he says, "Guys, I'm the light. I'm the light of the world. You got questions? I got answers. The news is good. God's good." He says, "There's stuff in your world that's ruining your peace, that's stealing your joy, that's tearing you apart." He says, "I'm going to expose that. It's going to be hard. It might be painful. You might have to face stuff you never wanted to face, but I will expose that, and you will live a life so free and so open and so joy-filled that you'll never want to look back again." He says, "I'm the light. I'm going to change everything. Things that used to be formless don't need to be anymore. You don't need to feel empty anymore. Your life doesn't need to be one big void." So maybe tonight, Jesus is clearing his throat and saying to you, friend, child, son, sweetheart, I want to be your light. My light will change everything. I was at a party a couple weeks ago, a family party, at Katie's family, and I somehow ended up in a side room with Katie's aunt. There's like 50 people at this party, and we sit down, and I'm sitting in a chair similar to this, and we're kind of chilling, watching TV, and out of nowhere, with tears running down her face, she says, "What do you do when you don't know what to do?" And I put my drink down, I'm like, okay, we're having this conversation. She says, "What do you do when you don't know what to do?" And at this party that's filled with people, she's sitting there crying, asking me an extremely deep question about hopelessness in her life. And what was happening, her second son was going to college that summer, and she knows that I work with college students, and there was something that prompted her to ask me this question. She says, I've been wanting to ask you this whole party. And somehow during that conversation, we figure out that they're having a really hard time with this, that this summer was filled with crippling anxiety and crippling fear and crippling hurt and pain and questions of what if. And as a mom, she said, I can't do it anymore. I don't know what to do. And I'm sitting there with my baby, who's like 1 month old at the time, and I have no idea what to tell her about how to be a mother. But I was able to share that my hope, that my joy, and that my future belongs in something bigger than myself. And you see, what she was doing, she was waiting for any moment she could to ask me more about this light that we're talking about tonight. In Matthew 5:14-16, it says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all of you to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." And so here's the challenge. If all of this is true, that Jesus is the light of the world, that through that we come to know who God is, that Jesus' light reveals and exposes our darkness, and that his light covers it all. The void, the helplessness, the hurt, the shame. If that's true, then we cannot hide that. We are doing a disservice to our campus, to the people that we know, to the people that we love by hiding that. First thing for you is to figure that out for yourself. If you're sitting here tonight and that darkness is taking over your life, that you can barely even see what's behind that photo because it's so underexposed. If you can't stop looking at that computer screen, or you cannot stop obsessing over this guy and how he makes you feel and what he said to you last night, if that's you, then I challenge you to figure out and ask the Lord to come into your life to let this light transform you. It transformed this world. It transformed everything that we know and the reason you're sitting here tonight. That's your first challenge. Second challenge is to walk up tonight and leave this place and to share that light with you. This is the only light in the room. We got, you know, we have the screen up and there's some stuff here. It's pretty dark in this room. This light is enough. Light will always prevail over darkness. God's light will always defeat darkness. What does that look like for you to be a light on a hilltop? To be a lamp that's placed on a stand that gives light to everyone in this house? Who's hurting around you? Who is waiting for that right exact moment to ask you, what do you do when you don't know what to do? God, I thank you for being the light. I thank you so much that your light defeats darkness, that there's nothing in this world that can overcome that truth that you are good, that you are merciful, that you love us. And when we think of those names, of what you are known as, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, Jehovah Nissi, our banner, Jehovah Emkadesh, the God who sanctifies, Jehovah Rohai, God our shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. Lord, I pray that those things become more and more real because of the light you provided through Jesus. Lord, we are a small speck in your kingdom. Lord, but this campus is yearning for this light. The world is yearning for this light. Lord, the hurt, the hopelessness, the brokenness and the sin that weighs our campus down is yearning to see a light on a hill. I pray that our students here tonight will walk out of this room transformed and accept the calling and the challenge to be a light on a hill. It's through your name only that this is possible. We accept that and we glorify your name because of it. It's in that beautiful, marvelous name that we pray. Amen.